But this is serious. This is really serious. We've had cases of seabirds, wild seabirds, migratory birds, but not even migratory birds. I think one of the cases includes a bird that would very rarely land back on land, if you like, that is now hit the coast of Australia, Western Australia, South Australia, and New South Wales, all affected. And of course, why is this such a big thing? It's not necessarily about human health, more so it's about our economy, it's about infrastructure, it's about our chickens, if you like. And then that's before we get to the potential impacts on human health as well. So it's about livestock, it's about our ecosystems, it's about wildlife. I mean, God forbid if this flu arrived in New Zealand and our native species that we have spent so many years bringing back from the brink of extinction, we were impacted. I'm talking about the beautiful kiwi bird, of course. I'm talking about everything from the kia, the kakaha, the you name it. I mean, even my fabled kereru, of which I have made up so many whakatauki over the years. Now, look, I'm not a medical expert. I don't understand exactly what this all is. I know it's important. I know that you fellas think it's important too. So let's turn to the experts. Now, I'm going to get this next guest's name completely wrong, and I hope he accepts my apology before I even do this. Of course, we're going to be turning to Dr. Hamed Toyinbo, I think it is the pronunciation. Again, forgive me if I bastardize that. Doc, welcome.
Hello, good morning.
How do I pronounce that last name so I don't insult you?
Yeah, Fatoyinbo.
Can I ask where that comes from? It's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm originally from Nigeria.
Welcome, brother. Welcome.
Thank you.
Can we talk about bird flu, Doc? Can we talk about H5N1? Because it is serious, and I don't want to make light of it, but the potential impact on the system, if you like, and Māori are well-versed with understanding the system, but it seems to me as if it's not just about impacting migratory birds and those sorts of species. The next stop is potentially livestock and chickens and teme. That is the basis of our food systems. Can you tell me what's going on?
Yeah, bird flu is highly contagious viral disease of birds, as the name speaks, bird flu. But in the last couple of years, it has spilled over through mammals, you know. I think in 2024, there was this large outbreak in the U.S. in dairy cattle.
Yeah.
You know, this shows how this disease or this virus can spread across, you know, which brings us to the One Health of WHO, you know, which recognize how health of human, the domestic and wild animals, the plants, and even the wider ecosystem is important, you know.
Because I think, I mean, not only is this thing highly contagious, but it's deadly. I mean, in flocks, for example, when it comes to birds, I think the mortality rate is estimated to be about 90 to 95%. So the risk of non-survivability of this disease in flocks is incredibly high, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very high. Sometimes even it's up to 100%. So this is the reason why if there is an outbreak, what's the surveillance team do is just to find a way to call the flocks, you know, and also try to measure the distance, maybe say any farm within the 10-kilometer radius, as an example, needs to be called as well.
So I guess it's like, in many ways, our experience of mad cow disease, where the first intervention, I guess, to your point, is to cull the livestock or cull the flocks. I mean, it seems to me as if that were to happen in New Zealand's case, because we're so reliant on that system of food production, both our domestic economy and potentially also our export economy, particularly as ergo beef and lamb and so on and so forth, could be affected. So can you tell me what this is this what you describe as a classic One Health issue?
No, One Health issue is like we are trying to think about animal health, environment health, and human health separately. You know, like we can't separate this. Mm. You know, because if the, for example, in the case of avian influenza, if we focus on just protecting the poultry industry, you know, that means we are not thinking about our native bird population, right? Mm. That means we are not thinking about the biodiversity and ecosystem itself.
So this is very much about planning for the eventuality that potentially this could happen. So investment and planning, prevention, et cetera, or is it a case of, it's not about prevention, it's planning for what might occur if this gets into our system?
Yeah, so this is the why the preparedness is so important, you know. And now what we need to think about is how we can develop a stronger biosecurity system, because now that we've got cases from Australia, that shows that New Zealand is not completely isolated, right?
Well, yeah, because what's astounded me is we're closer to the sub-Antarctic islands and Antarctica than Australia is, unless I'm wrong. I mean, so in many ways, this is where these migratory bird populations come from. In the case of New Zealand, although I think there are species like the dotterel and so on with other names that come from as far away as North Korea and places like that. But it seems to me as if we can't escape what might be coming. But then again, it's not henny penny the sky is falling, because at the moment, unless I'm wrong, there's no evidence to suggest there's been some sort of either animal to human transmission or human to human transmission, right?
Yes, the human-to-human transmission hasn't been recorded, but there have been cases from human being infected as a result of having contact with infected environment infected animal.
So what would the solution be? Because during COVID-19, there was this rush to close the borders and all that sort of stuff. And as somebody who's well-versed in the art of what happened during COVID-19, we're not talking about that sort of response, are we?
No, this is totally different. Mm. You know, for example, we can't actually control the migratory birds, right? Because this is what they do seasonally, right? They need to move from a place to place. And, you know, most of them come through different migratory pathway. So this is the reason why it's very difficult to actually say this is the actual pathway the disease might arrive in New Zealand, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is why we need to be very vigilant on any possible pathway we think this can travel to New Zealand. So we don't want to be looking at just sub-Antarctic only, but other migratory pathway as well.
No, absolutely. And of course, you know, we're kidding ourselves. We don't know that this is one very small dot in the universe. And of course, it's all very interconnected. So what we should be doing is having a conversation about what the potential impacts are on our native species, both flora and fauna, right?
Pardon?
So the it stands to reason that what we should at least be doing is A, better understanding what the impacts might be on our native flora and fauna, and what we might need to do about it. At least we can have that conversation, right?
Yes, we can leave that out because, for example, you know, the government agencies are trying their possible best, right? Mm. Doing coordinating surveillance, you know, like preparing for using the rapid response. So also that is from the government perspective, they need to like invest more money in surveillance and rapid response. Then in the case of the scientists, you know, we just want to talk about what sort of research, you know, what sort of modeling or evidence to help guide decision making.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey Doc, fascinating talking to you. I think we're gonna have to get you back on just in case this thing draws blood. I hate to say that you'll use that term, but thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And happy Matariki. Happy Matariki.
Yeah. Thanks.